Ooh, it is so good to be here and be able to go before the Father and spend time with Him on His wonderful Shabbat and get things started off here. So we've been looking at Genesis 42 and 43. We've been taking our time going through 42. And respectively, we've been looking at verse 2, the matters of life and death. I want to share something before we get into this wonderful word of the Father's. So, you know, there's a lot of times where we reflect upon different things in our life, areas that we believe that we may need to truly work on and improve in and just do better, because the Father wants better for us, but He gives us the opportunities to do better. And I was praying today while on the garbage truck, and I was asking the Father, show me things to allow the Word to be more simple to me, to help me not complicate things. Because every time I put my hand on things, and I start to get a little bit of that Yaakov handler situation going. Good intentions, but when you put your hands on something that the Father needs full control over, it gets a little bumpy. And He'll let you know. He'll let you know. But He reminded me the importance of learning how to truly walk in Him, trust in Him, and allow Him to do the full control of matters. Because then He gave me an imagery in my mind while I was driving the garbage truck. And He reminded me that people are kind of like, and no one take the imagery the wrong way, but people are like garbage cans sometimes, okay? So you're thinking of it as a vessel. Don't associate it with always the smell and all the other stuff that it's used for. But, you know, when I go through my routes, I see all types of garbage cans. I see some that's been through high mileage, has been through a lot. I see some that are filled just right, turned the right way, very punctual, very in position. And then I see some that are a little too close and overflowing with garbage all over the place, garbage here, garbage there. And when you pull up to it, you kind of just kind of go, what's going on with that? You just got all types of different scenarios, but the reality is everybody, no matter how they may be positioned or look, is going through some kind of garbage. And thankfully, the Father appoints someone in our life that's willing to go and pick it up and help get rid of the garbage. Because week after week, we put ourselves in a position to where we can receive what it is that the Father has for us, but we have to be willing to look to the one that He established in our life that wants to take the garbage out of us. Shabbat shalom, y'all. Now, the Father is so, so, so good to us. And with that being said, of course, He deals with us differently, but keeps us in the same ballpark. So we are still tonight focusing in on the matters of life and death and the matters of how important it is to hearken to the voice of the Father whenever He tells us to get up off our behind, stop looking at each other, and go down to where the bread is at. Because that's what He wants. He wants us to receive that bread in our life. Shabbat shalom, my sister. So with that being said, I was praying throughout the week multiple times, what's a good opener, Father? I want your direction. I like this. Like, I have to make sure I'm constantly, for every little detail, going before Him. Because whenever He has full control, best case scenario. That's right. So I kept going, and with that being said, it changed three times. Three times. Because I had to carefully consider and pray and make sure that I was hearing from Him, because it takes consistent practice and willingness to go there. So with that being said, let's start off in James, or respectfully, Yaakov, chapter 1. And we're just going to look at verse 2 through 4 as a setting the tone in place. Because as remember, chapter 42 and 43 of Genesis has a common theme of repentance and what it should look like as it unfolds in our life. But on the matter of us having garbage inside of us and needing the Father to get us in the right position and get that garbage out of us, it's the garbage that weighs us down that's also part of the process and helping us, making sure that we're at the right place at the right time. It's also on the terms of garbage. There's been plenty of times, I even told this Brother Scott earlier this week, I'm a garbage truck driver, and I even forget to put out my own can. Does anybody know the schedule? It's this guy. So look, it's so important to be alert, ready, and in position, and remember the routine he has established for our lives, and be there so that way he can get the garbage out. Because the longer the garbage is there, the worse it smells. Trust me, I know. But it happens. It happens. But thankfully, he still has appointments where it can be dealt with. So my brothers, it says in James, Jacob, my brothers, count it all joy when you fall into various trials. Mm-hmm. Various. What does this various mean? It means, let's not compare who's going through what, but instead realize that the Father cares if your problems are literally this little right now, or this big for a while, or wherever it may be in the variety of different trials that we could be going through. And the Father wants to take it from us. But we have to be willing to go forth through the wilderness into the area where he said that there is bread. And we know that there's a common theme that's being established there with those brothers, the children of Israel, going into the wilderness, except, you know, this time they're going to Mishraim to get the bread. But when you fall into various trials, count it all joy. Be happy. Why? Knowing that the proving of your belief works endurance. So whatever it is you may be going through in this very moment, smile. Smile, smile, smile in the pain. Because he's just giving you an opportunity to prove yourself correct. Are you going to behave properly? Are you going to hold yourself to his standards that he has been instilling in you and has that responsibility as a child of his to be able to walk it out? Because that's what he wants, and what we're looking at, we see it in the children of Israel, respectably, that's what he wants for them. All the way up until the point where he lets them go hungry, because they allowed themselves to go hungry. Oh, Father, help me, because there's a lot flowing right now in my mind. But knowing that the proving of your belief works endurance, and let endurance have a perfect work, so that you be perfect and complete and lacking in naught. And that's the position that the Father wants us. Let's go ahead and start making our ways to Hebrews chapter 12. Because it feels like there's a... Instead of thinking of it as multiple openings, it's the big opening. There's a lot to this. Because there's a common theme being placed here. And I want to just put the key word that the Father dealt with me personally this week is discipline. Because we're looking at the matters of life and death. And it takes discipline, genuine discipline, for us to be able to withstand whatever it is that he has put before us, to truly see what is in our hearts, to surely show us what is in our hearts as we go through the wilderness. But Hebrews 12, starting with verse 1, we too then, having so great a cloud of witnesses all around us, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which so easily entangles us, and let us run with endurance the race set before us, looking to the prince and perfecter of our belief, Yeshua, who for the joy that was set before him endured the stake, having despised the shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of Elohim. And it's a beautiful thing to see the constant picture being painted throughout scriptures, that the fact that the brothers of Yosef are on their way to the one that was set at the right hand of the Father, the prince and perfecter of just getting it right with the Father and walking correctly with him. But we know that the next section is titled, Do Not Grow Weary. Because I'm sure some of us have some things that we've been going through lately. And he just wants to make sure that we got our character right. Because I'm going to be completely honest, without going into great detail, if this isn't a message for anyone, I'll definitely receive it for myself. Because earlier this week, I allowed circumstances, I allowed the opposite of the Father's character to get the best of me and then get out of sorts? And this right here, this unruly thing that has two things blocking it, cause some trouble. And we're held to a higher standard. And that's the standards he has set before us. So this is really what is being conditioned into the word that's going forth tonight. Because it's beautiful how congruent and fluent it is whenever the Father just allows you to be that example, so that way you can bring forth the word that he has established. But it says, do not grow weary. So being tired is not an excuse. For consider him who endured such opposition from sinners against himself, lest you become weary and faint in your lives. You have not yet resisted unto blood, striving against sin. And you have forgotten the appeal which speaks to you as sons. My son, do not despise the discipline of Jehovah, nor faint when you are reproved by him. For whom Jehovah loves, he disciplines and flogs every son whom he receives. If you endure discipline, Elohim is treating you as sons. For what son is there whom a father does not discipline? Because the reality is, irresponsibility breeds laziness. Irresponsibility breeds laziness. And we're in a position to where we can hold ourselves accountable to the discipline that the Father has set in our lives. But the reality is, if we're not willing to hold ourselves accountable and we get too busy looking at everyone else or everything else, then we're going to reap the product of that. And thankfully, the Father disciplines us, allows us to go through things. May seem minor, may seem however it may seem. It's to get our attention so that way we can move correctly before him. It says, if you endure discipline, Elohim is treating you as sons. For what son is there whom a father does not discipline? But if you are without discipline, of which all have become sharers, then you are illegitimate and not sons. Moreover, we indeed had fathers of our flesh disciplining us, and we paid them respect. Shall we not much rather be subject to the Father of spirits and live? You know what's interesting? 3 weeks ago, I'm not sure just for Bible study, but 3 weeks ago, I had to come to Yeshua a moment, and I was just honest, put myself before him, and then I asked for the Father to make me into the man that he wants me to be, not the man that I think I need to be. Because a lot of times we get a pre-assumption or any thought of what it should look like, whenever he has it right there in front of us for what it should look like. And I mean, we just literally looked completely what Yosef went through. All the way, everything he had to endure so he can be a part of the process of what the brothers are now currently enduring. So the Father genuinely wants us to get right so that way we can be a part of the process of those that are still struggling. But the reality is, whatever pre-assumption that we have of what we think that we should be, we got to allow that to be challenged according to the Father. And the only way that's going to happen is whenever he allows things to start to happen in your life that you don't want to. So when you ask for change, don't throw your hands up and be like, why me? Oh, now, you know, then you start getting tossed and turned and thrown around because the tester comes, because you technically asked for the fire. But we shouldn't be afraid of the fire. We should realize in those moments of testing who we truly are. Because it's when the discipline stops, we should be worried. Genuinely worried. And I could tell you this much, everything feels much worse when you're hungry. Let's keep moving. For they indeed disciplined us for a few days as seemed best to them, but he does it for our profit, so that we might share his apartness. And indeed, no discipline seems pleasant at the time, but grievous. But afterward, it yields the peaceable fruit of righteousness to those who have been trained by it. So strengthen the hands which hang down and the weak knees, and make straight paths for your feet, lest the lame be turned aside, but instead to be healed. So I prayed about that specific verse, and if the Father would remind me, I would go to it. So I want to briefly bring up something that was shared by Sister Connie to the ladies group and to the men's, that was phenomenal and a great word in Scripture. It should be familiar to us. The 2 Chronicles 15, 1 through 17. Because when I was going through 2 Chronicles 15, 1 through 17, I believe. But as I was getting my routine established throughout the week, yesterday, part of my routine is I go for a long walk. And then whenever you get into what I like to call the flow state, whenever you lock in with the Father, and you're just letting Him speak to you, and you just pray to Him in the Spirit, and you just allow your mind to be emptied of everything that you thought you need to think about, and just allow Him to enter in. And it's a beautiful experience, especially whenever you allow it to happen. And I was reminded of a word in red letters. It popped up and it was circled in my mind. It was forsaken. Forsaken. And then I was reminded about what was sent. And I asked the Father, what else about that? So here in Chronicles, we'll read as follows. And the spirit of Elohim came upon Azariah, son of Oded, and he went out to face Asa and said to him, hear me, Asa, and all Yehuda and Benjamin. Yah is with you while you are with him, and if you seek him, he is found by you. But if you forsake him, he forsakes you. And that echoed through my mind. Because the reality is, the choice is completely up to us. The choice of life and death is, it's right there in front of us, but it's our behavior. It's our character, how we walk it out. How disciplined are we willing to be to actually reflect His character and show Him that we're serious? Because the reality is, I kept asking the Father, because the connection, it wasn't there at first because I was trying to understand it on my own. But the next thing that popped into my mind after that was, my L. Why have you forsaken me? And then I saw the Messiah on the state. And the reality of it is that He positioned Him to take all the forsaken, to take all of the sin, to take all of the burden, and carry it upon Him unto death, so that yet we shall live because He lived. And I know this is a simple reminder, but the reality is the Father is really good to us, and He wants us to see clearly what it is that He has for us. But it says, and for many days Israel had been without a true Elohim, and without a Torah priest, and without a Torah. And I'll never forget the message that went forth about a teaching priest. We know that teaching informs and preaching moves. And then I was reminded, and discipline helps you actually see it through. Because all of it's for the perfecting of the saints, which is each and every one of us. But in their distress, they turned to Yah, Elohim of Israel, and they sought Him, and He was found by them. And in those days, there was no peace to one who went out, nor to one who came in, for great disturbances were on all the inhabitants of the lands, and they were beaten down, nation by nation, and city by city, for Elohim troubled them with every distress. But you, be strong and do not let your hands be feeble. Were we not just reading that in Hebrews? Strengthen the hands. For there is a reward for your work. And when Asa heard these words in the prophecy of Oded, the prophet, he strengthened himself and removed the abominations from all the land of Yehuda and Benjamin. And that's the Father's position that he wants for us. He wants us to be able to strengthen ourselves so we can remove the garbage that we've been allowing to be sitting and festering inside of us. Because he has appointed the one that's going to remove that for us if we're willing to get up and go forth where he has it appointed for. But it takes discipline. And that's something that I know one thing I've been guilty for in the past is there's a lot of times where we can take on these messages and cultivate and spend time with the Father and pray. But how much, and I'm going to speak completely for myself here, but how much if I actually sought to literally try and find a way to physically apply whatever it is, that direct thing that he dropped in my spirit, to share and actually do it. Like go out my way to physically do it. Because for me, it's the word discipline. Discipline. And then I was being reminded of how disciplined I was when I was living in the flesh. Oh, I mean, whenever it came to fitness and fighting and all these different things, 10 hours a day, 6 days a week, like a machine. But where's that application in the spirit? Where's that application now? There should be no laxed. It should be more now that I'm empowered by him. And that's something that he was really instilling in me. And it's even after Bible Study Wednesday. I finally, after months and months of not lifting weights, any of that, last week I started up. And I said, I'm going to make sure I remain disciplined to no matter what the time is, no matter what's going on, I'm going to get it done. So Wednesday, as soon as I got home, no music, no caffeine. And that's usually a big thing to help get me through an exercise is the caffeine. I went in my gym and I just focused on what was spoken about. I focused what he was dealing with me throughout that week. And I did my program. I worked out. Oh, and then also had a phone call while working out. That's some family related stuff. My sister, I just thought, you know, at one point she might have been like, "Oh, you exercise and I let you go." But no, she needed to talk, so I didn't let that stop me either. But I'm trying to be mindful. I don't want to sound rude because I know she'd be listening, and I know I'm gonna get a call. So. But the Father's good to us. And these things, these little simple things that we get to go throughout the week is for one another to share and enjoy the relation to his word. He strengthened himself and removed the abominations from the land of Yehuda and Benjamin and from the cities which he had taken, the mountains of Ephraim, and restored the slaughter place of Yah. That it was before the porch of Yah, and gathered all Yehuda and Benjamin and those who sojourn with them from Ephraim and Manasseh and Shimon, for they came over to him with great numbers from Israel when they saw that Yah, his Elohim, was with him. And they gathered together at Jerusalem in the third new moon in the 15th year of the reign of Asa and slaughtered to Yah on the day 700 bulls and 7,000 sheep from the spoil which they had brought. And they entered into covenant to seek Yah, Elohim of their fathers, with all their heart and with all their being. And whoever would not seek Yah of Israel would be put to death, from small to great. And as I was reading through it, because respectfully, whenever we receive things and read through things, it's going to deal with us differently, but we understand the gist of the message. Because the reality is, we don't seek him, that's the expectancy, is death. And it's very, very, he allows it to be a slow process so that way we have time to turn. Because turning is important. Turning is the true idea and definition of repentance. And the reason I'm smiling, so I made a little comment on the way out of Wednesday Bible study, there's going to be a lot of turning Friday. Because there was some turning that I found that I'm excited to share and that we're going to be getting into. And I just love how the Father puts these things together. With all their heart and with all their heart and with all their being, and whoever would not seek Yah, Elohim of Israel, would be put to death from small to great, from man to woman. And they swore to Jehovah with a loud voice, with shouting and with trumpets and with shofarot. And all Yehuda rejoiced concerning the oath, for they had sworn with all their heart and sought him with all their being. And he was found by them, and Yah gave them rest all around. Yet the high places were not removed from Israel. However, the heart of Asa was perfect in all his days. I was very, very thankful for that being shared because it did uplift, and it was something great to meditate upon what we're looking at in the concept of life and death, and how important it is, and how important it is to be thankful that we get the privilege to be able to be taught and learn and understand in the matters and in the way that the Father designed with a teaching priest. Because the Torah is a beautiful thing. It's the heart of the Father. But that was a breakaway from Hebrews 12. And all we have is 14 through 17 left. And it says, pursue peace with all and pursue apartness. This is Hebrews 12, 14. I'm trying to be mindful of the pace. I should have brought me a napkin. Pursue peace with all and pursue apartness without which no one shall see the Master. See to it that no one falls short of the favor of Elohim, that no root of bitterness springing up causes trouble, by which many become defiled. Lest there be anyone who whores or profanes like Esau, for a single meal sold his birthright, for you know that afterward he wishes to inherit the blessing. He was rejected, for he found no place for repentance, though he sought it with tears. Because respectfully, he still just wanted the birthright. It wasn't about getting right. Self-seeking and jealousy is a terrible thing that causes people to be corrupted of mind and leads them astray every time. Because the Father really, really, really cares about what's going on up here. And he really cares about what's coming out of this. And we're going to get there. We're making our way there. So as I mentioned, there's a new tool that I was experimenting with on the eSword called the Word Study. But I'm not going to sit here and read every little thing the way that it has it presented. I'm just letting you know that this is where it's from in regards to the Strong's for moot, which we know is die, which is death. And that's H4191. There's a section in there, the way that they have it broken down, that it simply says, the word describes dying because of failure to pursue a moral life. And then it gives Proverbs 5:23, which we're going to go there, and Proverbs 10:21. So we're going to go to Proverbs 5:23 first. Because, yes, ma'am. Proverbs 5:23. Because there's a moral standards that the Father wants us to adhere to. And here's where, this is actually the verse that kind of really all began for this service in relations to the power of life and death is in the tongue, because that's the other connector that sparked it in the search. So Proverbs 5:23 says, he dies for a lack of discipline and in greatness of his folly he goes astray. So we're not going to do a dive into greatness, but a quick look at it. Because, you know, when you read things, especially sometimes in Proverbs, it's just like, okay, what you really saying? What you mean by this right now? What's so great about folly? But of course, it means a greatness in the sense of multitude, which is another fun Hebrew word because it's robe, but it looks like Rob. So it's always fun whenever you can see it in a certain way. And if you do want that word, it is H7230. That's for greatness. But we're looking at discipline. He dies for a lack of discipline. Because the reality is, we know the brothers of Yosef, from their account, to be fair, genuinely was lacking discipline, was genuinely lacking the want to. And I'm being reminded of something me and my brother would talk about a lot. Because me and my brother used to send motivational videos to one another all the time. And it's always a compilation of this famous person saying this, or this scholar saying that, or, you know, some motivational words here, motivational words there, and which is, it's great. It's great to be motivated. Motivation's important. But motivation without execution is just a sugar high, or like just a feeling good because something externally made me feel better on the inside. But if you don't do anything with that momentum, because the point of motivation, the moving, is to give you momentum to discipline yourself to get in there and do it. Because if you don't have motivation, but you know you still need to do the right thing, what's that take? It takes discipline. Because one thing, we have a family group chat, and I'm not saying which sister, but one of the sisters, I have four sisters and two brothers, say, I just really don't feel like, I'm not motivated to do this, this, and that. My brother said, what's motivation? Do it anyway. Then you'll be motivated that you did it. I was like, get him, Mark. I was like, get him. But it's true. The lack of discipline is a terrible place to be, and it leads to death. But that word, discipline, that beautiful word, is musar. Musar. H4148. It speaks of chastisement, reproof, warning, instruction, restraint. And respectably, we just looked at chastisement. We know what it says about the Father chastising those that he loves. Why would you reject it? But instead embrace it with joy, like Jacob said. In the ancient Hebrew, paints a beautiful picture. So samach and eresh, samech and eresh. Its action is the rule. Its concrete is a ruler. And the abstract is a noble. So it kind of makes you picture Messiah. Makes you picture Yosef, respectably, because that's where he's at. And we're dealing with discipline. When you combine these, you just turn the head. The turning of the head to another direction, one who rules turned the people to his direction, the turning the head of the child or student into a particular direction. So I'm sitting there, I'm going, oh, ain't that interesting, Father? So I had respectfully no idea that it would have any involvement of turning. Now, I know there's rules in interpreting whenever it comes to words with their roots and the parent root and so on and so forth, but there's also a respectable rule about words that have similarity to each other and words that are opposite. And we're seeing that discipline goes right along with repentance, and the fact that when we turn, part of that is turning our head. Because, I mean, imagine if the Father told you, this is what repentance looks like. And you're like, oh, no problem, I'll start walking this way. But then you hear something that reminds you of something, and you're just doing this. You're not turning the head along with you. So instead, you end up probably walking into something and end up in a lot more trouble than what you should have. Or, as I was reminded, what did Lot's wife do? She turned. They were on their way away from the area that they were repenting from, respectively and physically, but yet turned back. So every time that we don't let discipline take its effect in the repentance process, we end up right back in the same situation because we couldn't turn our head from what we thought we could fix ourselves. And I'm guilty of that so much because I thought so many times I could fix things myself, do things myself. I mean well. My heart means well. I want to see better for this one or that one. I want to see better for myself. I want to see better for this. But then when it's not part of the process that the Father has established, then you just end up in a terrible, terrible situation. You end up in more chastisement, which, to be honest with you, is what we need from time to time. I'm thankful for it because I don't want to keep going in the wrong direction. So we talked about two turns. We're going to get to the third turn. And by that turn, my turn will be up. No, I'm just, I couldn't help it. So, but, you know, it's the next part that we mentioned, Proverbs 10:21, you know, what's incredible about that is I was reminded of what the Father-led pastor to speak about in regards to the part of the opening about, I'm just reading it real quick, but we're going to go to the one I mentioned. But a man's stomach is satisfied from the fruit of his mouth. He is satisfied with the increase of his lips. Death and life are in the power of the tongue, and those loving it eat its fruit. We're talking about lips, and we're talking about what's your appetite. So, Proverbs 10:21. The lips of the righteous shepherd many, but fools die for the lack of heart. So I took an interest. I took an interest in the word lips. I almost said I took an interest in lips. And I was just like, let's move on. Sepheth is lips, and it has a beautiful description of it. I'm not going to systematically go through it, but I'm going to highlight what stood out the most in its description. And for the note takers, it's H8193. It says, in there, it says, the lip as a natural boundary. The lip's not the only thing that's a boundary, though. We also got teeth. So we got two boundaries, but what's it holding? What's it holding back? The tongue, that unruly thing, that thing that can get us into trouble so many times if we're not careful with it, because life and death is in the tongue. It's up on our lips. And it's ancient Hebrew. It's a semek and a pe, which means gather, lip. And it says, turning mouth, the rim or lips of the bowl which circle around it. So we're picturing, I pictured a cereal bowl, and I was focusing on the lips. The bowl is used for gathering things together and for eating. It's another emphasis on what is our appetite. Because you know how I just did that little thing earlier, just a few minutes ago, about when I walked this way, I started talking about it looks kind of a little weird. You keep looking back because you really didn't turn your head, and part of the repentance process. But you know, now you got your head turned, but you're still talking about what's behind you. Father's trying to get that out of our system. Because imagine that long, hot, hungry, miserable walk from Canaan to Mishraim. You think they were grumbling? Something's telling me they were grumbling. Not just their tummies either, their lips. Man, and doesn't it sound so reminiscent of the children of Israel in the wilderness and what the Father was dealing with? It goes to say a lot, you know, because there's a lot flowing right now. I mean, I'm going to just let the Father. But we're familiar with what Jacob says about taming the tongue. It's an unruly member. Just a little member could set forth fires, unnecessary fires, damaging and ruining established lives if we're not careful with this. If we're not careful with this. Because we were going to read chapter 3 of James, the whole thing, but let's instead go to verse 13, because we're familiar with the upper half, where he charges the brothers. Not all of us brothers should be teachers, for will receive a greater judgment. And he's warning. He's saying, be careful, because what you say will be required of you, and you will be tested in everything that you say. And the power of the tongue. But we're looking at the wisdom from above right now, because we're focusing on the lips and the process of repentance that the Father wants for us whenever we turn our head, turn our mouth into the right direction. Who is wise and understanding among you? Let him show by his good behavior his works and meekness of wisdom. But if you have bitter jealousy and self-seeking in your hearts, do not boast against and lie against the truth. This is not the wisdom coming down from above, but is earthly, unspiritual, and demonic. For where jealousy and self-seeking are, there is confusion and every foul deed. Now, out of all the brothers, because we know, as we got to look at the process from the minute the firstborn arrived and that whole shenanigans that took place at Laban's farm. Yeah. And it ain't at Flanagan's. But at Laban's farm, we got to see the Real Housewives of Israel. That whole dramatic unfolding of what was going on. Whenever this one was running this way, this one was being this way, this one's having babies, this one needs that, Jacob's going this way, that one's going this way. And it was crazy. I remember when we were going through that, I was like, this is where they get the TV show ideas from. It's gotta be. But then when I read that part for where jealousy and self-seeking are, there's confusion in every foul deed. We know it's deeply rooted because of the things that took place in the beginning. Unresolved past issues. Definitely getting a phone call. My sister listens because that was part of conversation we had. But the reality is unresolved past issues, things that we didn't deal with, is that root of bitterness that springs up. It springs its little ugly head up and starts reminding you of things. But I was reminded of Reuben specifically. And then I was reflecting on it. You know, Reuben was a self-seeking people pleaser. He got interjected in a situation. And he was trying to be a part of the process of the mandrakes, fixing this, doing this. And then constantly you see his position of trying to maintain that firstborn status and whatever it takes. But also with his attitude of, I told you so, don't do this. Half-heartedly rescuing Yosef. And then, of course, as we see later on in this chapter, he basically hits them with, I told you so, whenever they realize what's fallen upon them, like that helps anything. And then offering his own grandchildren in return. So we could see that he has some residual effects taking place, that he's trying to fix things the way that he thinks he's got to fix it and trying to please everyone in the process. Now he's doing that in a way that he's doing it. Then it made me reflect upon myself, because I'll just tell on myself any day. It's easier to do that. Allow myself to be crucified. Just how many times I've done things because I thought it would please others, so that way, in return, I believe that they would love me more. That really hit home for me. I really settled in a certain way. And like I said, Bible study Wednesday, in the past couple of weeks that I've been having, I had a dirt kicked out of me. Just the dirt straight up kicked right out of me. And yes, that is a reference of the reference of the flesh leaving the body. So we know we're nothing but dirt. And it took a lot of different things. Which, to be honest, the past couple of weeks, Brother Scott got to hear a good bit of the portions of the behind the scenes, and then Pastor and then Brother Chad, and the different things taking place. But now I'm finally at that full turnaround and realizing this week, in the middle of the week, realizing it's because I still needed to turn this and this. Because I still kept, I repent, I forgive them. You know, I'm doing all that. And I'm still looking back. And, yeah, you know, he wants us to hunger for righteousness, hunger and thirst for righteousness. But I was, you know, trying to walk, handle things the way that I thought I needed to handle it. And instead, I ended up with the grumblings in my tummy and my mouth. And I had to eat my words, thankfully, because the Father's good to us. But let's finish out these two verses right here in Jacob and James 3:17. But wisdom from above is first clean, then peaceable, gentle, ready to obey, filled with compassion and good fruits, without partiality and without hypocrisy. I was about to say Hip Hop Anonymous. Without hypocrisy. And the fruit of righteousness is sown in peace by those who make peace. You want peace? Make peace. We know the recipe. Yeshua gave it to us. So another word that was in that Proverbs account that we just looked at about the lips of the righteous shepherd many, but fools die for the lack of heart. And heart, without going into a deep dive, we know it deals with the mind, we know it deals with love, it deals with the seat of our emotions, the ancient Hebrew, with the Beit and Lamed. It simply means authority inside. The consciousness of a man seen as coming from deep inside the chest, the heart. And he says, but fools die for the lack of heart. So it's in the moments where we forget where our authority comes from that we end up entering into death. Because whatever it is that we're facing, the Father wants us to be able to see us get through it and get the bread that he has waiting for us. But with everything that's been brought up tonight, let's make our way to Matthew 15. Because this is something that he dropped on me today. I was praying during lunch. And we're going to start in verse 1 of Matthew 15. Remind you, we're dealing with bad attitude, bad appetite, and the kickoff, that was not a Super Bowl reference, but the kickoff, Genesis 42, began with, why are you looking at each other? Or in other translations, heavily emphasize, you lazy ones. Because it's always easier to point the finger. So we get another example of appetite and that attitude right here in Matthew 15:1, which I'm sure we're all familiar with. But it says, and these are the words of the Master, then there came to Yeshua scribes and Pharisees from Jerusalem, saying, why do your taught ones transgress the tradition of the elders? Because they care so much about the elders. For they do not wash their hands when they eat bread. But he answering said to them, why do you also transgress the command of Elohim because of your tradition? For Elohim has commanded, saying, respect your father and your mother. He who curses father or mother, let him be put to death. But you say, whoever says to his father or mother, whatever profit you might have received from me has been dedicated, is certainly released from respecting his father or mother. So you have nullified the command of Elohim by your tradition. Hypocrites. Yeshayahu rightly prophesied about you, saying, this people draw near to me with their mouth and respect me with their lips, but their heart is far from me, is lost in the wilderness. But in vain. Ain't that right, Brother Chad? That was one of the main topics on Wednesday night about vanity. You can be done with vanity, or we can be vessels of honor. But in vain do they worship me, teaching as teachings the commands of men. So as he's dealing with a whole lot of hypocrisy, I mean, imagine Jacob's stance, looking at the boys, dealing with the situation that they're dealing with. They want. they probably sit back and fantasize about the idea of what it would be. What would I spend my inheritance on? What I would do if I'm in charge. Shine, baby, shine. And they just staring at each other saying, well, you can't be in charge because you smell bad. You can't be in charge because you talk funny. You can't be in charge because you don't look right. You can't be in charge. Me? Oh, nonsense. Nonsense. Looking back, witnessing that. And it's all about the personification of wealth instead of actually serving the Father, which we know that Messiah dealt with that also. But now let's go on to what defiles a person. Let's keep reading this. This is good. And calling the crowd near, he said to them, hear and understand. In other words, all I hear is, it's time. Messiah's about to lay it down. Not that which goes into the mouth defiles a man, but that which comes out of the mouth. This defiles the man. Uh-oh. Then his taught ones came and said to him, do you know that the Pharisees stumbled when they heard this word? His taught ones. And he's respectively about to deal with them because guess what they're doing? Look at the Pharisees. They don't understand what you're talking about. Messiah don't put up with that either. Respectfully, this is how everything so peacefully and masterfully. He says, but he answering, there's the but there. But he answering, every plant which my heavenly Father has not planted shall be uprooted. Leave them alone. They are blind leaders of the blind. And if the blind leads the blind, both shall fall into a ditch. And Kepha answered, said to him, explain this parable to us. And Yeshua said, are you also still without understanding? Do you not understand that whatever enters into the mouth goes into the stomach, and what is cast out into the sewer? But what comes out of the mouth from the heart, so lack of heart, and these defile the man. For out of the heart come forth wicked reasonings, murderers, adulterers, whorings, thefts, false witnesses, witnessings, slanders. These defile the man. But to eat with unwashed hands does not defile the man. And I couldn't help it, but it hit me when I was reading it. I was like, well, even though they're Yehudim, doing these things, Hebrews, doing these things, sounds like they're acting like Egyptians. We can't eat with them, they nasty. And that's something that we do see in the 43rd chapter of Genesis 43. Yeah. I talk circles around myself. But it is a reality because it is a spiritual essence that he's trying to get us to pay attention to. You can be of the tribe of Yehuda. You could be of the chosen people, as some people proclaim. But yet, acting completely like Egyptians, with a worldly mentality, a worldly mind. More worried about dirt under someone's fingernails instead of actually spreading the love of the Father. And sometimes, respectfully, I think we allow ourselves to get caught up with dirt underneath other people's fingernails. Dirt as in the sense of just stuff that's going on in other people's lives to cause us to judge incorrectly, to cause us to behave in a way that we are given examples here that we're not justified into. Because the beautiful thing is about whenever Pastor was given the Matthew chapter 7 account, do not judge, lest you be judged, for whatever measurement you measure out will be measured back. In the plank, in the splinter, dealing with our judgment. And then, interestingly enough, I was led during that week, because I was still, everything going on. You prepare, you prepare, you prepare. And still was looking at Matthew 6 and sees that it deals with forgiveness. So that's where the coin Lord's Prayer is. To be forgiven, you must forgive. So speaking about forgiveness, then it speaks about judgment. Then what's the very next chapter about? Chapter 8. He's healing the blind. He's healing the lame. He's healing. He's performing miracles. And it was a beautiful imagery that the Father bestowed upon me, just to see the simplicity of it, that we have to get our forgiveness right so we can be forgiven, so that way we can judge properly, and that way whenever it comes down to it, then when we want to receive miracles and be able to be a miracle to somebody, we got to get those two right first. Because we can't be a help to nobody else unless we allow ourselves to be helped. And that's what all this is for. That's what he sets it all up for. That's what the journey is for. That's what it's going through the wilderness for. Let's go to Deuteronomy chapter 8. And as my wife knows, I probably tell her all the time, that's my favorite chapter. That's my favorite chapter. That's my favorite chapter. Because it just really encapsulates the idea of why we're going through what we're going through. For me. I mean, that's where it really brightened up the lights for me in my mind. But Deuteronomy 8, 1 through 6. And this was an example of Chaya, life, live. Guard to do every command which I command you today, that you might live, and shall increase, and go in, and shall possess the land of which Jehovah swore to your fathers. And you shall remember that Jehovah your Elohim led you all the way these 40 years in the wilderness, to humble you, to prove you, to know what is in your heart, whether you guard his commands or not. And he humbled you, and he let you suffer hunger, and fed you with manna which you did not know, nor did your fathers know, to make you know that man does not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes forth from the mouth of Jehovah. And your garments did not wear out on you, nor did your foot swell these 40 years. Thus you shall know in your heart that as a man disciplines his son, so Jehovah your Elohim disciplines you. Therefore you shall guard the commands of Jehovah your Elohim to walk in his ways and to fear him. And that's all he wants and expects from each and every one of us. That's what we see unfolding right now in the Torah portion that we're in. And all these things are stems and branches off of literally looking at verse 2 and dealing with life and death. Dealing with what this can cause, what it does, and the way that the Father projects it in his word. Because whatever it is that we're going through in the moment, count it to all joy. It might not make sense. It usually doesn't make sense to me. But he has his word there to make it make sense. To encourage you. To make sure that you're actually conducting yourself the right way. Instead of foaming from the mouth and acting like a crazy person. Because you're not getting your way. Or getting a bad case of the grumblies because you're still walking through the wilderness and you're receiving the manna. There's more here, but there was an area throughout the week that I was led to. I call it randomly because it didn't quite make sense to me. But of course, the Father has a way of allowing it to make sense. I put it in here as extra. We're going to go to the extra. Good. It's the land. Yes, the land yet. So let's go to Isaiah 56. And then it starts off with verse 1. So we're going to start there. And it's titled, so 1 through 8 is salvation for foreigners. And 9 through 12 is Israel's irresponsible leaders. Because mind you, in that 15, it's a good example of what Yeshua was dealing with and what he was trying to fix. Well, not trying to fix, but realistically fixed, and it still is being fixed. But it says in Isaiah 56, verse 1, thus said Jehovah, guard right ruling and do righteousness, for near is my deliverance to come, and my righteousness to be revealed. Blessed is the man who does this, and the son of man who becomes strong in it, guarding the Sabbath, lest he profane it, and guarding his hand from doing any evil. And let not the son of the foreigner who has joined himself to Jehovah speak, saying, Jehovah has certainly separated me from his peoples. Nor let the eunuch say, look, I'm a dry tree. For thus said Jehovah to the eunuchs who guard my Sabbaths and have chosen what pleases me and who are holding onto my covenant. To them I shall give in my house and within my walls a place and a name better than that of sons and daughters. I give them an everlasting name that is not cut off. Also the sons of the foreigner who join themselves to Jehovah to serve him and to love the name of Jehovah to be his servant, all who guard the Sabbath and not profane it and are holding on to my covenant, them I shall bring into my set-apart mountain and let them rejoice in my house of prayer. Their ascending offerings and their slaughter offerings are accepted on my slaughter place, for my house is called a house of prayer for all the peoples. The Master Jehovah, who gathers the outcasts of Israel, declares, I gather still others to him beside those who are gathered to him. And the reality is, we're all a product of the eunuchs. We're all a product of feeling afar off. And all the Father is asking is the very thing that we're being blessed to be able to do. Guard his Sabbaths. Guard his commands. Walk in his righteousness. And he said, and he will deliver. And respectively, Yeshua Messiah, in that moment that we were reading in chapter 15 of Matthew's, setting the bar straight, and literally said, those that my Father has not planted will be uprooted and cast it out. Don't worry about them. Don't worry about them. Because it's easy. I've done it. I get caught up sometimes, and more times I like to admit, and looking at situations and thinking, oh, how can they say this? How can they stand on this? How can they do this? The blind leads the blind into the ditch. And that's, I'm talking about my inner dialogue dealing with those situations. Because we have blessings to obtain. And here, in verse 9 through 12, it's phenomenal in regards to what we just spoke about in 15. And on the matter of the topic of getting right the leaders that he needs to get right. But it says, all you beasts of the field, come to devour. All you beasts in the forest. His watchmen are blind. All of them. They have not known. All of them are dumb dogs, unable to bark, dreaming, lying down, loving to sleep, loving to slumber. And the dogs have a strong appetite. They never have enough. And they're shepherds. They have not known understanding. All of them look to their own way, everyone for his own gain, from his own end, saying, come, let me bring wine and fill ourselves with strong drink. And tomorrow shall be as today, even much greater. That is the essence of the attitude that the Father was getting out of those boys. It was time to remove the wine. It was time to remove the excess. It was time for them to get off their behind and literally press towards the goal that he has set before them. Because honestly, if you choose to stay in that, we know the outcome of it. But there was more in fragments, and I prayed about that before service. Because there are times where you can get prompted in memory about certain things, but then you learn that it may be for a different time. And you prayerfully consider that. But in closing, if the service could be completed in three words, it was, watch our mouths. Watch our mouths. And when I say that, respectfully, focusing on my cup, I'm not projecting that onto anyone. I don't want that to come across the wrong way. But The reality is discipline plays a huge, huge role in repentance. Because without it, it's no different than just saying, I'm sorry, just to say that you're sorry, because you don't want the residual effects of what you've done. With that being said, I'm thankful for y'all, I love y'all, and I enjoy what the Father has for us in store tomorrow. He's good to us. Praise Yah. Shabbat shalom, everyone.